ఉపనిషత్తులు చ అండ్ ఆత్మానం ది సెల్ పరం ది సుప్రీం బ్రహ్మ అబ్సల్యూట్ తథా ఆల్సో ఆత్మని ఇన్ హిమ్సెల్ వీక్షమాణ దస్ ఆబ్జర్వింగ్ విహాయ గివింగ్ అప్ దీక్షాం రిజర్వేషన్ అస్మాత్ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ పర్పస్ ప్రాసెస్ ఉపర రామ రిటైర్ ఆర్ సర్టన్లీ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ బాయ్ శ్రీరూపాత్ కి ప్లీజ్ రిపీట్ కింగ్ మలైధ్వజ్ కుడ్ దస్ ఆబ్జర్వ్ that the super soul was sitting by his side and that he as the individual soul was sitting by the side of the super soul. Since both were together, there was no need for separate interests. Thus he ceased from such activities. Purport by Shri Prabhupada, please hear. In the advanced stage of devotional service, the devotee does not see anything separate between his own interests and those of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the advanced stage of devotional service, the devotee does not see anything separate between his own interests and those of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Both interests become one, for the devotee does not act for a separate interest. Whatever he does in the interest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At that time, he sees everything in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Supreme Personality of Godhead in everything. Having attained this stage of understanding, he sees no distinction between the spiritual and material worlds. In perfect vision, the material world becomes the spiritual world due to its being the external energy of the Supreme Lord. For the perfect devotee, the energy and the energetic are non-different. Thus the so-called material world becomes spiritual. Sarvam Kalvaidam Brahma. Everything is intended for the service of the Supreme Lord. The expert devotee can utilize any so-called material thing for the Lord's service. One cannot serve the Lord without being situated on the spiritual platform. Thus, if a so-called material thing is doctrine in the service of the Lord, it is no longer to be considered material. Thus, the pure devotee in his perfect vision sees from all angles. It's beautiful purport, you know. Only one point Srila Prabhupada is conveying. Please read. Hear it again. In the advanced stage of devotional service, the devotee does not see anything separate between his own interests and those of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Both interests become one, for the devotees do not act for a separate interest. Whatever he does in the interest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At that time he sees everything in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Supreme Personality of Godhead in everything. Having attained this stage of understanding, he sees no distinction between the spiritual and material worlds. In perfect vision, the material world becomes the spiritual world due to its being the external energy of the Supreme Lord. For the perfect devotee, the energy and the energetic are non-different. The so-called material world becomes spiritual. Sarvam Kalvitam Brahma. Everything is intended for the service of the Supreme Lord. And the expert devotee can utilize any so-called material thing for the Lord's service. One cannot serve the Lord without being situated on the spiritual platform. Thus, if a so-called material thing is dovetailed in the service of the Lord, it is no longer to be considered material. Thus, the pure devotee in his perfect vision, sees from all angles. Om Jnanati Virandhaja Jnananjana Shulakaya Chakshurum Militamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitamena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamiyam Dadati Shubhadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yudhapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Chakanaragnatam Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagrajatam Vishakhanvitam Cha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Nusate. Then we try to recite few verses from Srimad Bhagavad Gita in glorification of the Lord. As we have already seen, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adidevam Ajam Vibham Kavim Puranam Anusha Sitaram Anoraniyam Samanusmaredya Sarvasya Data Ramachin Rupam Aditya Varnam Tamasa Prasad Tamadileva Purusha Purana Tamasya Vishvat Sapanam Nidanam Vitasi Vedyam Chaparam Chadama Tvayatatam Vishvamanantarupam Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amulam Yadvai Shnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramasyam Ekam Amalam Jnanam Parigiyate Tatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Saitam Naishkar Mimavishkrutam Tat Shrinavan Supatan Vicharan Paro Bhaktya Vima Chena Nara Shantakaram Bhujaka Shayanam Padmana Bham Suresham Vishwadaram Gagana Sadrisham Yogi Bir Dhyana Gamyam Lakshmi Kantam Kamalanayanam Yogi Bir Dhyana Gamyam Vande Vishnu Bhava Bhayaharam Sarvalokekanatham Vasudevam Sutam Devam Kamsa Chanur Mardanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadam Saptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari वृषभानो सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये पञ्चाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे इट्स वेरी नाइस परफॉर्म टुडे The thing is that we do understand all these things. Then we have to engage ourselves fully in Krishna conscious activities. Now we are trying to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam daily since last so many years, and over again we have heard about this point. The important thing is, we have to pick up from the material existence, and nobody else can help you. That is for certain. On one hand, up to the neck and more than that, we are covered by the illusory energy of the Lord. Being, body, till we have body, and we are going to have this body, it is very difficult to understand this point. Again and again it is insisted that ena kena prakarena manaha krishne niveshaye ena kena prakarena, by any means, ena kena, any, by hook or crook, the words hook and crook, hook here, hook, fishing hook, and crook, what is the meaning of jaja crook? Yeah, are you crook? Yeah, crook. Yes. Yeah, that's right. Crook is not crooked. Many times we think that by hook or crook we be crooked also. You come to Krishna, and no, you can't come. You're crooked. That's all. You can't come to Krishna by crookedness. The thing is, crook means if you cannot catch a fish with hook, only simply hook, then they have a stick. And at the end of the stick there is hook. So it becomes a bit longer. So they can catch more fishes. So that is, by any way, you have to catch the fishes. That is the meaning. So don't misunderstand the crook, Jason, you're not crook. So the simple thing is, that is by any means we don't understand. We try very hard. Every living entity has an intense desire that he or she should be a nice devotee of the Lord. This is innate. We cannot separate it. Many times that a very familiar example is given, that if there is a fire, there is heat and light everywhere. There is no exception to this. Anywhere there is a fire, there will be heat and light. Now this is the light and it is giving a bit of heat also. So there must be fire somewhere, and we know that it is connected to the powerhouse. And therein is a big fire. And you can see those chimneys from the lighthouse, Day and night, so much smoke is pouring out. Or maybe they are having the nuclear fire. But there is some fire. And because there is a fire, this is the result. And it can never be separated. You cannot have light and heat and ignore the fire. So you can't do. You can have only heat and ignore the light and fire also. You can't do. You have to take all the three together. That is inseparable. And the same way, our constitutional position also forces us to be the devotee of the Lord. This is our innate nature. But this being very tiny particle of Krishna's body, we are very much prone to cover by the illusory energy of the Lord. Maya. We cannot ignore. As soon as we leave Srimad Bhagavatam class, we go in search of where is my Krishna, where is my Krishna, where is my Krishna. Immediately, we cannot control hunger by hunger. The living entity becomes completely mad. And once he is satisfied, means he wants to have the enjoyment. And that is also certain, for certain. Once your belly is full, means you say that, how can I lie down? Or relax on the sofa and hey, like this, like moist, yeah. All because the universe is breathing out, you know. This is how, and if you cannot breathe out the universe, then you will puff out the smoke. Because we don't have any capacity to breathe out the university. So we have to breathe out something. So we just he enjoys it. Because that is our mahash. Then we lie like him, there is no garbhodar water. So far that we lie, and we try to imitate. Anyhow, by any means, every living entity tries always to be a devotee. But what holds him back is this illusory energy of the Lord. And why it is holding you back? That's a very nice, interesting point to think here. Why it is holding you back? Because we are not engaging ourselves in Lord's activities. We are not thinking about Him. We are not doing any activity which is connected to Him. And as soon as we are away from these activities which are not connected to Him, that vidya, atmanomayam, then you must know that it is my illusory energy of the Lord. So somehow or other, this art we have to learn is yoga karma kaushalam. Tasyaham na pranasyami, sachame na pranasyati, he says very nicely. Those who follow this art, yoga karma kaushalam, then tasyaham na pranasyami, I never forget him. And sachame na pranasyati, and he also doesn't forget me. Because always he is engaged. Now the question comes, then how to engage always? Because we have, on the one hand, we have our own responsibility. Grihasthas have their own families to maintain. Brahmacharis have their bad habits to maintain. So they cannot claim that we don't have family. Somebody may stand and say, I am separate, don't you see, I don't have family. No, you don't have family, but you have a great respect. And you follow your bad habits. And the bad habit is, it's very nicely said in Vedas, you know, that those who are intelligent, how they pass their time, you know, Kavya Shastra Vinodena. Kavya Shastra Vinodena. Kalo Gacchati Dhimadam. Dhimadam. Dhimadam means intelligent person. How they pass their time? Kavya Shastra Vinodena. By thinking about the scriptures, they pass their time. As soon as they have some time, they come to the scriptures. They try to learn these things. And that is how the intelligent persons pass their time. And then, in the second line says, how the other people, ordinary people, they pass their time. Vyasadaina tu murkana. Murk. You know murk? You know the meaning of murk? You know the meaning of murk? Boy, yes. Yes, what is the meaning of murk? Yes. Huh? No, you don't know. Anybody else? Foolish. What is unqualified? Unqualified is a very mild word. Fool, rascal. That is work. And how he passes? Vesanayana tu murkanam nidraya kalayanava. Nidraya. He sleeps. The best enjoyment is just, it's cold, you know. A nice quilt, you know, all the way. And bom, 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 bom. The nose talks, speaking. And this is how Nidraya. And if you are not sleeping, then Kalayanava. Then by quarreling with each other. If you are not sleeping, then the Murk will quarrel with each other. And Vyasanayana and bad habits. These are the things which Buddha follows. And we are in one of the categories of Buddhas. We like to sleep, we like to quarrel. And we have so many bad habits. Now suppose, if you want to devote your time to Krishna, then the first thing you have to do is to stop your bad activities. If you have any, please inspect. your life daily. As soon as you get up, you should inspect that still there is a remnant of the bad activity. And the worst activity is to be attracted to sleep, excessive sleep. We should have minimum 5 hours, 6 hours in enough, more than enough. Then you cannot have your own way to sleep. That no, no, everybody is satisfied with 6 hours sleep, but I must have 8. No, no. Whether you work hard or what, you have to have within 6 hours, you should get up. And once you get up, because sleep is in a tama, you know, is mode of ignorance. We completely glide down to the mode of ignorance in sleep. As soon as you get up, the first thing you should utter is Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And till you take rest, you should be chanting or reading or understanding the verses. And those verses should ring in your mind during the whole night. Or the Mahamantra should ring during the whole night. You know, these children, suppose she is playing, you know, and in this consciousness she takes rest. Then in the morning again they get up and they want to find out their notebook. Because they had that tendency of their mind. The mind definitely carries the tendencies with him during the sleep also. And it will carry the activity which you are doing before the sleep. And this is the secret how we die. When we die, we carry the tendencies. The last consciousness which we had before death, we carry us with it. As the child carries the tendency, the same tendency during the sleep, we also carry the same tendencies during the sleep. If we are attracted to other things, if our consciousness is something to something else, then we carry those tendencies during the sleep. And those tendencies will waste your sleeping time. But if you remember Krishna, then it is very clearly mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. And apart from mentioning in the scriptures, it is the fact that if you remember Krishna, till the last moment you go to take rest, and again you utter Krishna's name in the morning, that sleeping time will be regarded as a chanting time. And that will be credited to your transcendental account. And this is how the sleep has got to be spiritualized. And if you spiritualize your sleep, then you are not in mode of ignorance. Generally, people are in mode of ignorance. They don't want to get up. And after some time when the bed kicks them out, they try to get up. But even then they are in ignorance. They don't know what to do. And they throw the books and they throw whatever comes, they throw and they break the crockery and this and that. And so many madness is going on. Because we don't spiritualize our sleep. At least, grihasthas cannot claim, or anybody cannot claim that I am very busy. You do sleep. And I am insisting that your sleep must be spiritualized first. And it is very easy that till you take rest, you please chant continuously. Or read Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Read pages of Bhagavatam before you take rest. And that will carry you in the spiritual world during the sleep also. And it won't be the mode of ignorance. That is how we have utilized our sleep. That is one section. Now we are very comfortable that during the sleep, I don't forget the Lord. That is for certain. Then the question of the waking hours is there. During the waking hours, we keep our eyes open. We keep so many things doing, you know. Then we have to be very particular that whatever activities we do, we should remember the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, every time. I don't know if the question, this is particularly, pertains to our own activities. And everybody of us are situated into different ashramas and different varnas. And accordingly, we have different activities. Fortunately, those who are situated in the temple, knowingly or unknowingly, they do engage their waking hours in the service of the Lord. But those who are outside cannot find out any excuse. And somehow or the other, you have to be very clever about these things. How to do it is everybody's question. But one thing I'll tell you, that we have to get rid of the activities which are not necessary for our bodily survival. Then anything, our food must be discarded which is not needed for our survival. Our habits should be discarded which are not needed for the bodily survival. Only we want to survive. That is our intense desire. And that too, we want to survive, to serve Krishna. Say survive, serve. It's very nice words. You want to survive, not for enjoyment, but you want to survive for service. And we are surviving for service. But our goals are completely different. Instead of those goals, we should divert ourselves to Krishna. And then the question comes, the important question comes, that how to maintain the family and how to connect these things. And these things have got to be very nicely understood. The first thing is, we have to establish our relationship with the Lord. And we have five relationships. One is the passive. And in passive relationship, what we do, that we are attracted to meditation, you know, abstract meditation. We had been to Nandagram, you know, near Melbourne. There is a nice, beautiful form of farm. You know. And that day, it was Ram celebration in the farm. It's a very nice farm, you know, in the and a very nice forest we had, and a nice program there. You know. And we were discussing about Lord Ram. And then one lady came, and she asked me, that, do you know about Brahma Kumari? I told her, no. Oh, you don't know? No. So what do you know? I told her, I know Krishna. So she said, Krishna? No, Brahma Kumari is very important. I told her, maybe important, but she is not as important as Krishna. So whatever is most important, I try to remember. other thing, forget. And really, I didn't hear about her. She says she is a Rajyoga, great Rajyogi. So I told him, our guru, Srila Prabhupada, has instructed us in the greatest yoga, and he calls it Bhakti Yoga. And so we follow Bhakti Yoga. Sure, is a Rajyoga. I told him, yes, but there are so many yogas. But this is the king yoga, you know. So he said, no, but Bhakti, what is Bhakti, she said. I told Bhakti is Bhakti. That is the service of the Lord, you know. You love the Lord by your activities. So she said, no, I don't understand. We have to sit silent and then perform yoga, you know. I told them, if you sit silent, then what do you have to do? Then you have to close your eyes. And after closing your eyes, what to do? Then he said, you have to imagine that there is a dot, light dot. And then you concentrate on the dot. And if I tell, then if I close my eyes, I see the girl in front of me. And what to do? Then you have to remove it and imagine the dot. How to remove, I don't know. It's beyond my capacity to imagine, you know, dot instead of whatever object I love. And she couldn't explain anything. And then she said, I will give you the address to go to Rajkumari. No, Brahma Kumari or something. In London, she has big yoga center in London. I told her that this is the first stage. You want to concentrate, but you don't know how to concentrate. By merely sitting and closing your eyes, we may be dreaming that I am following yoga. You get one benefit out of it. And what is that? That you are sitting silent. You know? You are not doing anything. And so you are relaxing. That is one benefit you get. And whenever you relax, your body gets rejuvenated. So we think that by yoga, I am getting rejuvenated. No, it's not that yoga. It's just you are sitting silent and somehow or the other, unknowingly, you are in touch with Krishna. Because in silence also, we can get in touch with the Krishna. And this is the first relationship, passive with the God. But in our Bhagavad Dharma, there is no place for this passive relationship. There is no place at all. We are active, the second relationship. We are very active. See, our altars are very clean. Our deities are nicely dressed. And it's not accident. Nobody can tell you that just it came by accident and all the clothes fall on the deities. No, we know that pujaris have worked hard. And they are nicely washed, they are nicely placed there, nicely sure. And all these activities have to be done in order to satisfy the Lord. We know that. So without the activities, we don't follow Bhagavad Dharma. As soon as we come here to this, our Bhakti Yoga, it is full of activities and full of variegatedness. Somebody is cooking, somebody is cleaning, somebody Vedic culture. Honest, you please remember this, honest earning is not prohibited at all, because it is connected to the Lord. And Lord knows that you have got the responsibilities, you are in the complex society, and you have to work these things. And this is how someone is that the practical life should be connected to the service of Krishna. And those who cannot do it, maybe you have to work outside. Then that is again a practical question in front of us. Then we please pray the Lord daily in the morning that please excuse me, I'm just forgetting you for 8 hours. I have to work among the demons. And some or the other, because I have to maintain all this show, I have to do that. And before going to the work, you please pray intensely. Perform puja. And as soon as you finish, then again you come home, you take shower, and again you perform the same activities. And this way, you will be completely immune to those 8 hours which you have to spend minimum. Maybe you are doing business, so control that business also to the minimum necessities. Business is unlimited, but do it in a controlled way. And then you devote the whole thing to Krishna. And this is the way to escape out of these material responsibilities. Escape means we don't have to run away from the house. No, that is not escape. We have to come to this practical conclusion. And everybody has to maintain himself or herself by her own endeavor and then try to serve the temple or whichever way to Krishna, and that will be recognized by the Lord. By merely running away from the responsibility will not be recognized by the Lord. You have to manage the whole thing and then you come this side. And this is how we have to do. And those who are fortunate in the temple, they should be here in the temple. Don't know really how long we are going to be in the temple. The circumstances are changing daily. So till you are in the temple, don't waste a single second. Either you are learning the scriptures, or you are serving, or you are doing some seva. That is how we have to come to this conclusion. Otherwise, we cannot follow this instruction of spiritualizing our activities. Somehow or other, we have to become Krishnaized. You know, it's a nice word. Krishna, whole life should be directed to the Supreme Lord. And then, this is only regarding Grihastha. The difficulty is Grihastha. When you are Brahmacharyan, there is no difficulty, because there is no responsibility. And that's why Srila Prabhupada always was insisting, you know, you forget about it. There were so many complaints by Grihastha. So lately, he was scared to open the mail, you know. He knew that the 3/4 of the mail will be, hey Prabhupada, I can't get on it. And then, I have got to be separated. Once he allowed them, all right, he said, you don't want to have 100 separate. After a week, Prabhupada, I love that. I want to marry. Foolish, I just allowed you to be separated, he said. And now again, you want me to perform your marriage. So he was very, very upset. And then, Krishna were complaining, always there is a complaint. She said, forget about it, I know everything, just take sannyas. The thing is, we are not going to take sannyas anyway, unless we are very much kicked. But we have to come to this point, you know. The sannyas or no sannyas, it doesn't matter. But in the household life also, you have to become sannyas. In the business also, you have to become sannyasi. Sudama was very poor. We know his example here. Very poor, extremely poor. And he was not able to maintain his family, very poor Brahmin. And himself was completely lean and thin. But he had a controlled senses, that is definite. And full standard of the Lord. So he didn't worry. Among the difficulties also, he didn't worry. And you have to remember that the difficulties, they pour like rain, horrible rain and storm. They pour on us. But we don't have to lose our nerve in these difficulties, because we have taken full shelter of the Lord. And if you do that, then difficulties come and go, aguma paina, then it just comes and goes. So Sudama was doing like that. But eventually, his wife requested him. His wife couldn't tolerate much. So she said, you have a very nice friend like Krishna. You please see him. Maybe he's kind. He will give you everything. He went to Krishna. We know the story very nicely, you know. And he took some very little offering for Krishna. and he wanted to eat it. And Krishna took one morsel, and then his queen stopped him. Enough, he said, this is enough for Sudama. And then Sudama was served very nicely by Krishna. But he didn't give anything to him. In the end, whatever clothes Krishna had given to him, he took it back and put on his own clothes and started to go. This was the question. And Sudama never repented that, oh, I went to such a rich friend and he didn't give me anything. And to his surprise, when he reached his place, he couldn't recognize him. Everything was supplied there. This is how Lord takes taste. You know, it's a very severe taste. So don't curse him because you are not getting your results. But eventually, you will get the results. Sudama did not curse him. He was very happy. He said, all right, it's his desire. I don't have anything. I'm very happy without him. And so, anyway, Lord thinks that I'm suitable for my poverty only. I don't expect any riches. So it doesn't matter. If there would have been another living entity, I would definitely thought that, hey, all the way I went, and I took rice for him, and my rice he consumed and didn't give anything. So whatever I had, he took it, and he has not returned anything, and Buddha would have shouted and screamed for the whole thing. No, but that is duty. That is duty. You may do your activity, and even then, you will not be successful. You may do your duty, and even then, you will not be successful. So please, don't scream and shout. Don't go to the psychiatrics. You please try to control yourself. And the best way is to shed off the bad habits. That is the first thing we have to do. It's very nicely advised in Garuda Purana, you know. Taja Durjana Samsargam. This Samsargam, this Samagam, Santa Samagam is needed. Good association is needed. Whatever bad association you have to forsake. And the bad and worst association is the association of our mind. That is the worst association. Don't follow the dictates of the mind. You have to control the mind. And that is the meaning of controlling the mind. 99% of the time, we follow the dictates of the mind. We got up early in the morning, and now we are hungry. Mad like anything, you know. As soon as we get up, we should sit on the thali. Otherwise, you will get more wine. You know, this is the dictate of the mind. If you can control the hunger, and then, alright, if I don't get in the morning, I'll get at lunch hour. If I don't get at lunch hour, I'll get in the evening. And if I don't get for the whole day, doesn't matter, for the last so many days I have eaten. So I am not going to die if I don't eat in one day. This is how we should control. And this is how we should control the mind. And once you control the mind, then you are king. Then no situation will bother you. And in all the situations, your pointed attention will be towards the Lord. And whatever we eat is the grace of the Lord. You know, we very well know that there were three saints, you know, different saints. One was in Maharashtra, Tukaram. His wife was very bad, you know, daily fighting with him. They don't start fighting. So he went to the Lord and he said, Lord, how kind you are, having me such a bad wife. That's why I have come to you. So he was pleased with that wife, you know. He didn't complain to the Lord, hey, Lord, take this back. No. No. He was thankful to the Lord. That means it's your grace. This is bad, that's why I am coming to you. And that was very certain, you know. Then Eknath, another son, saint was there. And his wife was very good. So he went to the Lord. He said, Lord, how kind you are. You gave me such a nice wife. And she helps me, that's why I am coming to you. So he was also pleased. With a good wife, he was pleased. Then there was another saint in Gujarat, and his name is Narasimha. His wife died, and he went to the Lord. Lord, how kind you are. You're taken away. I'm completely free now. The point is, one had a bad thing, the another had a good one, and the third one vanished. And even then, in all the circumstances, these saints were thankful to the Lord. This is how we should behave. In any circumstances, we should be thankful to the Lord. And I will tell you that more often, your material activities also, it will completely baffle. You will never be successful. Very seldom we are successful and satisfied. And that is the nature of the material existence. And once you know, once we have this knowledge, then the living entity situation, and because he is not variable in any situation, he is never bewildered. In any situation, is the grace of the Lord who goes on tolerating and have penance and try to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Somehow he has put us into this situation of the material existence, and we have to carry on to the best of our ability. The rest of it, he will take the Shamam Samudrata with the Sansara Sagarat. He says in Srimad Bhagavad Gita that once living entities come to this conclusion, I immediately, when he is giving most confidential knowledge to his friend and devotee Arjuna, out of that chapter we'll discuss one verse which relates to our day-to-day life. The whole science, spiritual science, has intimate connection with our 24 hours day life. If the scriptures are not connected to our life, then it's futile to learn the scriptures. Because some or the other, we have got the body and we have to stay on this planet for a certain period. Until that time, we must know how to behave on this planet so that we can reach ultimately to Krishna and at the same time make our life very happy till we are on this planet. Not only that, but we are living in a society, we are living in a family, we are living in a country. Wherever we go, our association should satisfy all the living entities. And that is how we should look to these scriptures. So please repeat after me those four verses. They are from 10th chapter, Opulence of the Lord, and verse number 8, 9, 10 and 11. We'll first recite those verses and then see the 9th chapter. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Verse number 8 from 10th chapter. Krishna gives the reason why we become his devotee and why should we become his devotee. Nice answer is given by Krishna here. Please repeat. Aham sarvasya prabhu.
Aham sarvasya prabhu.
Aham sarvasya prabhu.
Aham sarvasya prabhu.
Mattah sarvam pravartate.
Mattah
sarvam pravartate.
Mattah sarvam pravartate.
Iti matva bhajante mam.
Iti matva bhajante mam.
Buddha bhava samanvita.
I am the source.
Loudly, are you hungry? After that there is a feast, isn't it? So speak out loudly. Otherwise you will not be served feast if Lord is not pleased.
I am the source
of all spiritual and material world. See, this is the quality of Krishna. He says, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Supreme Absolute Truth. That's why he is known as Supreme. Nobody owns equal wealth to him. He is the owner of everything. We may have few $1,000 here and there. We are very proud of that, you know. How much you have in the bank? $10. Nobody will marry you, that's the problem. You must show the bank balance. Anyway, so this is the difference with the ordinary living entity and the Supreme Lord. Because he is the source of everything. And it's very potent. This sentence is very potent, you know. We have to survive in this world and survive in a very healthy condition. For the whole of lifetime, we should not have to approach the doctors. They are very kind, but they will cut your pocket. Whatever is there in their pocket, they want that, you know. So, we can avoid these situations, provided we take the right medicine from Krishna. And we should understand this particular sentence about Krishna, that I am the source of everything. The sunshine is coming from him. The water is coming from him. The earth, planet, he is coming from him. Our food, he is coming from him. Not only that, but our body itself is his energy, and our soul is itself coming from Krishna's body. So everything really we owe to him. And because everything we are getting from him, it's our duty to remember him non-stop. 24 hours a day, we should try to remember the Lord, because he is the source of everything. Repeat again, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this, engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. This is the reason why we worship. Please go through this verse. Steal your time from your busy life and try to read the purport. Then we go to the verse number 9 from 10th chapter. Machitta madgat prana bhutayanta parasparam. Machitta madgat prana bhutayanta parasparam. Kathayantashyamam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service. Only these people are. You are not all repeating. You are missing prasad today. Please, lovely. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell with me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Tesham satadevtanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yugam tam enamam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Tesham eva nukam partham aham agyananjam tamam nashayami atma bhavastho jnana dipena bhasvata. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. These are four verses. They are known as seed verses. The whole Bhagavad Gita is included in these four verses. With this, we go to the 9th chapter and verse number 26. As I told you, this verse has a definite connection with our daily life. So we try to go through the purport. Please repeat after me. Patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, yo me, bhaktya, prayachati, tadaham, bhakti uparatam, ashnami, prayatatmanah. Patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya prayachati yo me bhaktya prayachati. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upratam ashnami prayatatmanah ashnami prayatatmanah. Now please repeat the equivalents. Patram, a leaf. Pushpam, a flower. Phalam, a fruit. Toyam, water. Yaha, whoever. Me, me. Bhaktya, with devotion. Prayachati
offers
that
that
aham
I
bhakti upurutam offered in devotion
ashnami
except
prayatmana
from
one
in pure consciousness. Please repeat the translation from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, if one offers me with love,
if one offers me with love,
and devotion,
a leaf,
a flower,
fruit,
or water,
I will accept it.
Please come forward. Please come forward. Please, just squeeze it. Just come forward. In these words, Lord describes very nicely, and Srila Prabhupada again describes us.
Hare Krishna.
Hi, how are you?
Hare, nice to see you.
It's surprise, you know. I thought that this is Latoka. The point is, this verse, as I told you, has a special bearing on our whole life. You know, you have to remember that if you go to the market and buy something, you know, buy a television set, and maybe it is Grundig or something, you know, from Germany, which is very hard here nowadays. Japan is very much in the market. But anyway, if you buy, then that company will issue you the booklet, how to use that set. If we follow the instructions of the books, then we operate the set very nicely. Otherwise, if you don't follow the instructions, we may break the set, and we may not get the results, all right results. The same way, this planet is manufactured by Krishna and company, and he is unlimited. Our companies are all limited. That's why we named them limited. We had been to Brisbane, and the owner of the store knew what is he doing. So he has given it. It's a big Jewish concern, you know, 5-story building, the whole store, and do you know the name? You know? Do you know anybody Brisbane? No, you don't know. You haven't seen Maya Bazaar. Exact name, you know. He knows that whatever is here is all Maya. Illusory, isn't it? You go to Brisbane, please. Go to Maya Bazaar. Oh, I was surprised to see it. And then when we went to see that store, Maya Bazaar, I thought that I must see it, Maya Bazaar. What is it? So when I went to see, from the window of that Maya Bazaar, we can see our board of the restaurant, and that is Govinda's. So from Maya, if you peep in, you can look to Govinda. And if you stand in the window of our restaurant, you see the Maya. It's a very nice combination. So those who go to Maya Bazaar, they come to our Govinda also. So we are very happy. We have got nice advertisement. Anyway, this is how we commit a mistake. That we know what we are doing. Don't think that we are ignorant. But because we don't follow the instructions of company, Krishna's company has manufactured this planet. So he knows how to stay on this planet so that you will be happy. And that's why he has issued a booklet that if you go, please, I am sending you on this planet. But you have to follow this booklet. And it's Bhagavad Gita. And in this, he has given every instruction. And this particular verse deals with the prasadam. All of us have to cook or go to the restaurant or eat something. As day dawns, we must have something. And this verse is very nicely instructing the way we should eat our food. And if you follow this, then the food never remains food, but it becomes the mercy of the Lord, and we call it prasad. And not only that, we want to take prasad and elevate ourselves spiritually, but we are very much, really we are very much serious about prasad distribution. We want to distribute to the people at large. And then this food, the way Krishna has told you, if you can offer him and then accept
him, accept it as your prachar, as his prachar, then that food never remains the material food. It is a spiritual, which spiritualized food. And as soon as you take the spiritualized food, all your sins are completely eradicated. The sinful reactions disappear because we take the food according to the instructions of the Lord. And it is very clear here. The only thing we miss is the faith. We don't have faith in the words of Krishna. Or the whatever is coming from the Supreme Absolute Truth, we lack the faith. Now how to create the faith is the main question before us. This is the main problem in front of us. Because from all the sides, we are completely surrounded by this Maya Bazaar. You know? And we don't have to go to Brisbane to see Maya Bazaar. But it's everywhere. Go to the market and you completely forget. This thing forces us to forget the Lord. Because we are completely surrounded by the illusory energy of the Lord. And being a very tiny spark, we are prone to fall down, always covered by this illusory energy of the Lord, Maya. And because of that, the first effect is we lose our faith. We think that there is no Krishna. There is nothing like that. This is the greatest mistake. And how? I'll tell you. You know, the air is very useful for us. Oxygen. It's known in Sanskrit as pranavayu. Unless we get fresh air, it's very difficult to survive. What to talk of healthy life? For healthy life, we must have fresh air. And this air is so very vital for our survival that our pure blood depends upon the fresh air, red blood. There is no other medicine. By artificial medicines, you cannot increase your red blood. It can only increase if you have completely non-polluted fresh air. And this air works in our body. And because it is vital for our survival, it is divided according to Shastras in the 10 different parts, this vital air. You see, one energy we are using. We are not talking about water, we are not talking about food, or we are not talking about anything else, but the air which we breathe in. And you will be surprised to know that how this air in different parts of our body works in a regular way. And if there is something obstructing it, then the disease starts. And modern life obstructs these airs. And because of this, the body gets diseased. And there is no cure for this in allopathic treatment. They try to cure the body, not the air. But in Ayurvedic science, or nature cure centers in India particularly, they treat these airs. And because of that, the health gets back to normal. It's very easy to understand this. Now those airs, this particular oxygen, is divided into 10 parts in our body. Prana is the first kind of air. Prana means our life breath. It depends upon oxygen. And the duty of the prana, vayu, that is the first kind of air, is to take out your breath from the body, from your lungs. You exhale, you know, exhale carbon dioxide. That is done by prana. And whatever you eat is digested by this air, prana. And in 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna very nicely describes this. Prana pana samayuktavo pachamyanam chaturvidam. I digest four kinds of foods by mixing prana and apana. These are the two vayus. Prana vayu helps you to breathe out and digest your food. Then apana vayu is very important. Apana vayu helps you to inhale, take the air in the lungs. That is apana vayu's duty. And not only that, but it helps you to take out the waste out of our body in the form of urine and stool. This is apana vayu. And if there is any inebriety, there is a difficulty in digestion. And not only this, but we are born because of the force of apana vayu. If mother lacks apana vayu, then the operation is needed to take out the living entity. If the health is normal, then it is very easy for the child to be born. It is because of this apan vayu. So very important functions this vayu performs. And then prana apan, and there is third air, that is saman. And saman vayu has definitely very nice duty. Whatever we eat, you please move forward so that they can sit inside. Outside they are talking. If you can squeeze. Now anyway, the third vayu is saman vayu. And saman vayu has a definite duty. It is situated in your navel, in the middle of the body. And whatever you eat is converted into juice. Better to close the door. So this saman vayu has a definite duty. Whatever you eat is converted into juices. And those juices have got to be spread on all over the body. And that is the duty of saman vayu. It distributes all the juices in all our limbs. If this circulation is bad somewhere, then again we suffer because of this air. Then we come to udan, that is the fourth air, udan vayu. And udan has a great function to perform. Udan vayu is situated in our throat, kanth. It's situated right in the kanth. And the duty, first duty of udan vayu is that whatever we eat, it is mixed with water here. We chew it and it is mixed with water. So this vayu separates the gross food from the water. And water is distributed all over the body and gross food goes into the stomach. This is the duty of udan vayu. And then when we die, that time we have to leave this gross body. And our subtle body, that is mind, intelligence, ego, this udan vayu takes that body with the soul and goes to the other body, goes to the other material body. So at the death, this vayu should work very efficiently. Otherwise, our soul doesn't leave the body easily. If this vayu is not working, this is udan. And then we come to vyan vayu. This is fifth one, vyan. And vyan vayu has a definite function. It can just contract your limbs and spread your limbs. That is vyan vayu, you know. You know, you might have seen tortoise. When it wants to swim, it takes out the legs and neck outside the shin. And as soon as the whole thing is over, he again contracts the body. That is vyan vayu. Then the sixth one is known as nag. And you know, after, if we eat too much, that is burping, or belching something. Burping. Yeah, that vayu. And as soon as that vayu comes out, we feel very comfortable. If that vayu is inside, then it will create a trouble. And you will not be feeling very satisfying, you know. That vayu must come out. And that is sixth one, nag. And then kurma. Kurma vayu. And a kurma vayu is after nag. The kurma vayu is situated in our eyelids. And these eyelids are to be shut and open, you know. Every second we have to shut and open, shut and open. This kurma vayu. It is again the prana vayu. Because of oxygen, we are able to do it. Particularly, in advanced age, we develop the disease. By which many times, our eyelids get completely weak. And if we open the eyes, we are not able to close. Or if you close, we are not able to open. And then a strong drug has to be administered to make these eyes open and close. And then once you have administered the drug, again and again and again, regularly, you have to administer the drug. And then the point comes when the drugs also don't work. And then it's time for us to take leave from this planet. This is kurma. Then krakar, that is the eighth vibe. And it is, we sneeze, you know. We sneeze. And sneezing is very terrible. That time we may lose our soul because of sneezing. And that's why it is our custom. Bless you, we tell you. This is because of this that you are still alive. We bless you. That means that you are not dead. So please, Lord, bless you. This is how the sneezing troubles. That is known as crackle. And then Devadatta, that is ninth one. And Devadatta vayu helps us to yawn, you know. When the oxygen is not sufficient, we take more oxygen in. There is yawning. There is Devadatta. And the last one, tenth wife, there is Dhananjay. His name, that wife is known as Dhananjay. And this Dhananjay wife, till we are alive, it helps us to keep our limbs in shape. See, my hand is not swollen. This is because of Dhananjay. But this vayu remains in our body after death. And after death, it causes the body to swell. Yeah? It causes the body to swell. And that's why as soon as the man is dead, however dear he may be to us, but we want to finish him off. You know, we tell that now he is dead, please finish his body immediately. This is the reason. So that the Dhananjay vayu should not work out the body. Otherwise, if you keep for a night or a day or two, then it becomes very fat and heavy, you know. These are the different forms of vayu on which depends. And Krishna knows. This is the energy of Krishna. Bhumir apokhal nilo vayu kam mano buddhi revaja. Krishna knows how to control prana vayu. If he wants to kill you, immediately he can control prana vayu, oxygen, and you will be completely finished within a second. And then we are so very proud, then we very calmly and quietly say, I think there is no Krishna. And he is taking his prana vayu. Every second he is taking. And every time we doubt, every time we lose faith. How can we lose faith? If these things are clear to us, and that is the duty of the Shastras. That is the duty of our scriptures. Tell me that don't they bear a very intimate relationship to your day-to-day life? Then who will disagree? Is there anybody who disagrees? No? Oh. This, I think Sydney people rise. You understand these things. These things are very clearly discussed. And particularly in this verse, he says what is to be offered to him. He has given clear instruction. Patram, pushpam, alam and toyam. Patram means leaves, vegetables. Pushpam, again vegetables, flowers. And then alam, there is fruits and grains. And toyam, clean water. He knew that there are so many other drinks going to come. But he has not mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Particularly we love Coca-Cola, you know. Love. all, you know. The whole lot level. We like, you know. But he has not mentioned here. Otherwise he could have taken out toyam and put Coca-Cola up there. So if he has written here, then I would take a bath with Coca-Cola. What a drink to drink, you know. These drinks are obnoxious, you know. And because of that, if we conduct our life according to the instructions of the Lord, then it will be sound. Our health will be completely alright. Our body wants water, we want water. And here in these countries, or particularly in London, it's very difficult to get clean water. Because that is the first world. First world, we call it, you know. And in first world, we drink purified urine. Now our water is recycled for 7 times. And we are very proud to stay in London, you know, very proud to stay here in London. And they should tell that I am drinking urine. These things are completely contrary to our health. I many times tell them that it is no good, your first world is no good for us. It's better we go to Mayapur and have a Ganges water. And then we wash our dhoti also in Ganges water. Then we have to buy the water. The water is so very costly. Kali Yuga, in Bhagavatam it is mentioned that people will do business by selling water. And they are selling this avian and this and that. Should be here also. All over the world they sell. And this is how we have to conduct our own life in this life. Otherwise we will be completely finished. And this faith particularly, we must have a very simple faith in the Lord. Otherwise we will not win at all. You know, there was one cobbler. You know, cobbler, he mends the shoes. And he was sitting on that tree, you know. Very nice cobbler. And Narad Muni wanted to go to see Krishna. He wanted to see Krishna. So he went to cobbler, you know. And he was very humble, you know. First he met a very nice Brahmin. He was knowing all the Vedas and Shastras and everything. And he was very proud, you know. So he went to that Brahmin and he told him that I am going to see Krishna. Have you any message to convey? So that Brahmin said, yes. You are going to your, see your Krishna? You are Krishna, he said. Yes. He said, I mean, I had nothing to do with Krishna. So, he said, yes, 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 I have a message for you. You please convey the message and let me know what he tells, you know, what is his answer. So he said, he knew that he is sure to be liberated, you know, because he knows all the Shastras and everything. So he said, you ask Krishna, when am I going to be liberated? And when you come back, please convey the message. All right, Narada Muni said, all right, I'll tell you. And then he went to Kokhler. Kokhler was a very humble person. All the way he was mending the shoes. So he went to him. He said, I'm going to see Krishna. Kokhler was very happy. Oh, he said, you're going to see Krishna? Yeah. And then he was very much scared to ask him, you know, to convey the message, whether he's going to be liberated or not. He was afraid, because he knew that he's not going to be liberated. Because he's all the time he's working. Sometimes he chants, that's all. Nothing else, he doesn't know any shastras. So how to do that? But anyway, he said that please, when you see Krishna, just ask him, is there any chance that I may be liberated this lifetime? So Narada Muni said, yes, I can. So Narada Muni went then to Golok Vrindavan, and he saw Krishna, you know. And then he said, Krishna, there are two messages for you. One is a Brahmin, very nice learned Brahmin. He knows all Vedas and Shastras and everything. And he is asking you, when is he going to be liberated? So Krishna said, he will have to stay here for 100 lives more. So Narada Muni was really upset with Krishna. He said, Krishna, he knows everything. He knows Shastras. He is quite well versed in everything. And I don't understand why he needs to stay here for 100 lives. Then he said, one Kokhler, very humble Kokhler, he is also asking whether is there any chance of his getting liberated. So Krishna said, yes, he is going to be liberated this lifetime. So he said, I don't understand you, Krishna. You must be mad, you know. Because the one who knows everything, he is not going to be liberated. And one who doesn't know anything, he is going to be liberated. I don't think that you are in your senses, he said. So then he asked, you know, he said, I don't understand really, Krishna. So Krishna said that you will not understand. But you, when you go back to the town, they will ask you, what have I told? And then you tell them that I was very busy. And so they will ask you what I was busy in. So tell them that I was trying to pass an elephant through the eye of the needle. You know, eye of the needle, how small it is. And the Lord was trying to pass through an elephant through the eye of the needle. And then you will know what I am telling you. So he came back to the town. The Brahmin was standing there. Hey, Munai, have you seen Krishna here? What are they doing? Narada Muni said, I conveyed your message, but he was very busy. So what was he busy in? He said, he was passing elephants through the needle eye. He said, nonsense. Has Krishna any sense? He said, can such a big elephant go through the needle of the eye? It's impossible, he said. It can never work. And so Narada Muni thought that the fellow doesn't have faith, you know, sufficient faith in the Lord. So he's correct, Krishna is correct, that he has to wait here till he cultivates the faith. Then he went to Kokhler and said the same thing to Kokhler. Kokhler was very afraid to ask him. He said, did you pass my message to Lord? Yes. He said, I did. Now what is his answer? He said that he was very, very busy. Lord was very busy. He said, what was he doing? So he said, Lord was very busy passing an elephant through the needle eye. Oh, Kokhler was so very happy to hear that, you know. He said, my Lord can do anything. And then he showed one of the seeds fallen from the banyan tree, you know. And he said, if Lord can squeeze in this seed, the whole tree, why can he not pass an elephant through the eye of the needle? He had full faith, you know. He had the realization. And that's why Narada Muni could know that one who has faith will definitely be liberated. One who doesn't have the faith, they will not be liberated. And the main point in this verse, then again, he has described, is Bhaktya Prayasati. With all loving devotion, if you give him a leaf or a water, even clean water, then he will accept and he will be satisfied. This is the way to conduct our life on this planet. Have you any questions or comments? We have a few minutes here. Yes.
Two questions.
Yes.
First question. Is it, suppose we are liberated from Krishna Loka, is there any possibility of coming again to the material world?
Yad gatvana nivartante tat dhama paramam mama. Yad gatva na nivartante. We don't have to come back. But then again, we are a tiny spiritual spark. You know, we are not very big in size. Lord is big, inconceivably big. We are very tiny. So all the time, we are prone to be covered by the different desires of the enjoyment. And as soon as that desire again arises in us, we fall down again.
So there is a possibility of coming.
Maybe, if you desire that way.
Once we qualify somebody, don't our desire finish, then come at that stage that we are.
In order to go there, our desires have got to be finished. Otherwise you cannot go there. But because we are very tiny, many times we become completely envious of the Lord.
In
Krishna Loka. We think that why Lord should be worshipped. I must be worshipped. I want to enjoy. And then he sends you here. Go and enjoy. And then material energy kicks you. And your cheeks become red. And people think you are healthy. They don't know that from both the sides this energy is slapping you.
It also seen in Bhagavad Gita.
You please, just take the answer of your question, otherwise it will never end. If you want to talk more, then you can come to the room. Then we have a personal discussion. Is anybody else?